It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. After 21 years at the helm of the Life Center for Independent Living, Gail Keir is retiring. In those years, Keir says there's been helpful changes regarding infrastructure, but work still needs to be done to make sure technology is accessible for all. Laura Kennedy has more.
As executive director of LifeSIL, Gail Keir has expanded the organization to serve a four-county area and led LifeSIL to be recognized as one of the leading centers for independent living in the state of Illinois. Keir says although there have been struggles, she's seen positive changes over the years.
The passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act is the key civil rights law for people with disabilities. And although change has come slowly, it has been a very positive change. And I think that many people don't even recognize the conveniences that are out there for everyone because of the accessibility of public spaces nowadays.
Of course, we have sidewalks at intersections that ramp as well. What are some other changes that have come about?
Well, you often will see power door openers, and many of us take advantage of them in ways that were perhaps not what was intended. Have you ever entered a building carrying a large box or luggage or whatever, and you hit that switch with your elbow? People who are riding bicycles and skateboards love those sidewalk ramps. You will see many signage, raised tactile signs, in buildings and on signs that will indicate where you are in a building, and you see them on ATM machines and all, you know, even like some public pay phones, even though those are rare right now. I think that people have begun to accept the architectural changes as just a natural way that buildings ought to be, and they ought to be, because they allow and enable everyone with and without a disability to be able to access that building comfortably and safely.
Is there more that you see needs to be done with regards to that?
Well, here's an example. Telephone technology has been changing very, very rapidly over the last 10 years, and in many cases has outrun allowing the technology to be accessible to people with hearing loss. When cell phones first came out, they were not accessible to people using hearing aids. And if I, for example, I wore hearing aids back then, and if I picked up a cell phone and put it near my ear, the phone would emit a very loud noise like you were standing next to an idling Mack truck. And there was no possible way to hear any voices coming out of that machine. And even people standing 10 feet away from me could hear that awful staticky interference noise. They began to come out with technology that you could plug into a cell phone and put next to a hearing aid that would allow you to hear. But then the newest iPhones, for example, no longer have plugs in them. But Bluetooth technology is now coming to hearing aids, and phones have Bluetooth, and so there's a lag time, but the technology does eventually begin to catch up.
Was texting a great advancement?
Oh, absolutely. People who are deaf used to use TTY, telephone technology, that was based on landline telephones with a gadget attached to it. And then when pagers came out, they were the big thing for people in the deaf community. And then cell phones, and now all kinds of audio phone technology is out. And you don't see people using TTYs very often anymore.
Have you noticed, Gail, over the years that you've been working for LifeSIL, changes in attitudes in the community towards people with disabilities?
Oh, I think so. And I will tell you what I think is one of the reasons that is occurring is when the laws first came out that guaranteed children with disabilities the right to go to public school and to have the services that they needed to be able to participate in public school. Originally, children with disabilities were segregated in, quote, special classrooms, usually at the farthest wing of the building. And then they began to do what they called mainstreaming, of integrating children with and without disabilities into the same classrooms. So younger kids started growing up with children with all kinds of similarities and differences and have learned to see the person and not the disability. I think that that has made a tremendous difference in the community perception of and acceptance and inclusiveness of people with disabilities.
Gail, what have been some of your biggest challenges over the years at LifeSIL? Has it been funding or something else?
I would have to say that the funding situation in Illinois, particularly in the last several years, has been quite a challenge for anyone who is operating a not-for-profit organization. It's been more of a struggle in recent years than it used to be.
What about the greatest rewards of your job over the past 21 years as executive director at LifeSIL? What brings you great joy when you reflect back on it?
LifeSIL is a civil rights advocacy organization that also provides a number of services that allow and assist people to achieve and maintain independent lifestyles. We're not a residential organization. We are about teaching and mentoring and connecting people with the resources they need to live on their own. And as part of our civil rights advocacy, we teach people with disabilities what their rights are and that they have an obligation to fulfill their responsibilities as citizens as well. And we teach them how to advocate for themselves and how to advocate for the rights of all people with disabilities. We do that in a lot of different ways, including teaching people how to talk to legislators and go to the Capitol and advocate for the legislation that is needed. And to see people get this and realize they can do it, they have a voice, people will listen to them, that is so amazing. Another thing that I have to say, one of the programs that LifeSIL operates is one that assists people with disabilities under the age of 60 or people with traumatic brain injury and certain other disabilities to move out of nursing homes and back into their own homes. And to see somebody that thought they were stuck in the nursing home and they get out and they're in their own home and just that joy that they have to be home is wonderful.
Well, of course, there's a lot that you've done over the years at LifeSIL. What will you miss the most, Gail, when you leave, when you retire?
I will miss my wonderful team at LifeSIL. I've been doing this a long time, had a lot of coworkers and employees through the years, and this group that I work with now, they're my other family, and I will miss them.
Ricky Lee Beneke, who's been working there for some time, will be stepping into your shoes when you retire. Do you have any advice for Ricky Lee?
I have been working with Ricky Lee for some time now, mentoring her and showing her some tricks for how to get the job done. I don't mean tricks, just ways to do the things that we have to do. She is a smart cookie. She will do very, very well. I think she just needs to eat her Wheaties for breakfast. A high-energy job.
Well, Gail, you're going to have some spare time on your hands. Do you have retirement plans?
Oh, yes. It's in slightly less than a week after I retire, we are relocating. We have a house that's about 2 miles from the beach. And
wow.
There are many, many things that I enjoy doing, and photography and art and music and outdoor sports, and I haven't had as much time as I wished to do those things in recent years, and I am very much looking forward to catching up with those. I will say this. I've been in the human service business for a very long time, and LifeSil has been my favorite place to be. And I may be retiring, but I am not leaving behind my passion for disability rights and all of the things that LifeSil stands for.
That's Gail Keir, retiring after 21 years as the director of the Life Center for Independent Living in the Twin Cities. I'm Laura Kennedy.
Another feather in Keir's cap is 10 years of the wheelchair basketball game. The annual tournament raises funds for the organization. You're listening to Sound Ideas.